Good morning, my friends in Christ. Welcome to this beautiful Palm Sunday morning worship service. And we are all gathered in the great cloud of the Church of Conscious Harmony, and I thank you for your presence with us today. Just a few announcements to draw your attention to. And I would remind everyone that it's been for many years a tradition of the Church on the first Sunday of every month to... We were invited to bring non-perishable items to the church that were then later taken to Caritas. And because we're really not able to bring food to the church, I just wanted to remind you that that invitation is still available. And I wanted to direct you to their website. It's called caritasofaustin.org. And Caritas is spelled C-A-R-I-T-A-S, caritasofaustin.org. And you can see it different ways of supporting their ministry to the homeless, and especially the need for food and then filling their pantry that they serve the homeless with. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that beautiful gift the church has been doing for many, many years, so quietly and so under the radar, but it's something we'd like to continue during this season. So go to caritasofaustin.org. And also, just a reminder that I invite you to participate at home, wherever you might be, in the Eucharist. And so this would be the time to get a piece of bread or juice or wine and set them aside to join us in this Eucharistic celebration. And invite the children to stick around as well, because Miss Deborah will have a teaching for our children, and Don will also have a teaching for our youth. And so this Palm Sunday is such a different Sunday without the crowds, but today we'll be hearing a reminder about how to behave on this planet from the Bhagavad Gita, and also a reminder of what it might mean for the center to come to circumference, for the center to enter into the crowds, and what might that crowd be. So now we'll light our Christ candle in the manner of a godly play, and Deborah has the candle.
As we bring fire to this candle wick, making it glow with light, may we also bring the fire of love to this time of prayer and worship. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's take a moment in the silence to wish for what it is we need from this service, and that through this service the world in some way would be blessed with peace, increased consciousness, and love. May it be so. Amen.
Please join us in invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Come, oh,
Please join us in singing "The Gospel in One Word is Love."
Good morning. This is Palm Sunday. Let us remember God. We remember God, and God is in our hearts. This is our verse. Oh, we were supposed to have a new verse this month. Oh, but someone changed it. For where 200 or 300 are gathered together in my name on Zoom, there am I in the midst of them. So I know a lot of you are here with us, but I miss your faces. I know if this was a regular Sunday, Miss Jackie would be showing us all how to fold our palms into crosses, and I would see all of your faces, Jay and Cameron and Teo and Nadia, Willow and Scarlett, Tristan, Everett, Naomi, and all of you. I miss you so much. But today we're going to talk about, what? What's this? Oh my gosh, Wilson, what are you doing in the sanctuary? I hope Donald's not watching. I don't think we let dogs in the sanctuary. I can't understand you. Let's take this off. There. Is that better? What is in your mouth, Wilson? Ming Chow! What? Ming Chow, you're covered in dog spit. What is going on? Oh, Ming Chow snuck out to go to the skate park. Ming Chow, we talked about this last night. You have to shelter in place. Well, I'm not going to lecture you because you know there's 200 or 300 people watching, and I'm sure you already feel bad enough. Let's get you back to Jack's travel trailer. Chow Ling, Ming Chow's back. He needs a bath. You're welcome. Oh, this is just hard to believe because we had this long talk last night about his behavior. He has been sneaking out to the skate park with his friends, his panda friends, and last night the panda bear police brought him home. Yeah, you didn't even know there were panda bear police, did you? But evidently he's been doing this, sneaking out and doing this, and he got caught. And Ming Chow had this really great talk with him, and he was so humiliated to be brought back by the panda bear police. And he was just bouncing back and forth between anger and humiliation and blame. And she made this great chart of the map of mindfulness. C- Can you zoom in on this, Michael? Oh, I guess it's too small. Well, let me share my screen with you. So this is what we wrote out last night for Ming Chao. Can you see, Wilson? So he's down here at the bottom of the chart, humiliation, which calibrates at 20, which is not great. Anything below 200 is negative, and Ming Chao has a right not to be negative. But he was down here at humiliation, and then he was just angry and scornful, and he was anxious. And what Ming Chao told him is that if he were to use affirmations, he could bring himself up into the level of truth. And we were talking about some of the characters we've talked about the last few weeks. The king's unhappy son, way down here in despair at 50. The woman who was anxious about sharing her bread, she's down here in the level of falsehood also. But the farmer, he's way up here. And so affirmations are what we told Ming Chao he needed to do. We gave him a few to use, and hopefully he'll do it. Wilson said that he had actually left his skateboard at the park, and that's why he went back, but it wasn't there, so I know he's probably upset about that. That's right, Wilson. We have someone in our Sunday school that one day shared with us all of the affirmations from Lessons in Truth. She had them memorized. She could say them without even thinking about it. We could call her. I wonder if that would work. Let's see if we could call her. Maybe she can help us with this.
Hello.
Is this Zen?
Yes.
Hey, Zen. This is Miss Deborah. I'm at church. And I was wondering if you would share the affirmations from Lessons in Truth with the whole community.
Sure.
All right, let's go.
Denials. There is no evil. God is good. There is no absence of life anywhere. Pain, sickness, poverty, old age, and death cannot master me because they are not real. There is nothing in life to fear. For greater than he that is within me than he that is within the world. Affirmations. God is light, love, intelligence, substance, omnipresence, omniscience. I am a child, or a manifestation of God, and every moment his life, love, wisdom, power flow into and through me. I am one with God and governed by his law. I am spirit, perfect, holy, harmonious. Nothing can hurt me or make me sick, hurt, or afraid. For spirit is God, and God cannot be sick, hurt, or afraid. God works in me to will and to do whatever he wishes me to do, and he cannot fail.
Wow. Thank you, Zen. I hope you're all cheering at home. That is so amazing. After all this time, that she remembers every single word. So, boys and girls, if you want affirmations this week, they can start with words like I am, I can, I have, I will. See if you can get yourself up here in the level of truth where you can truly wear the shirt of happiness. Bye.
Wonderful. So wonderful. That is the scripture message. Please join me in listening for God's word to us. Our first reading is taken from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Be fearless and pure. Never waver in your determination or your dedication to the spiritual life. Give freely. Be self-controlled, sincere, truthful, loving, and full of the desire to serve. Realize the truth of the scriptures learn to be detached and to take joy in renunciation. Do not get angry or harm any living creature, but be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. Cultivate vigor, patience, will, purity. Avoid malice and pride. Then, beloved, you will achieve your divine destiny. May this reading nourish our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
This morning, instead of doing our usual one up and one down check-in, I thought we'd do something a little bit different. I thought I would be the one up and one down. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I've never done such a thing before. but the down is fear. And the up is love, God. And the down started this morning off when I opened my eyes very early this morning, just completely saturated in fear and anxiety. And that was unusual. I don't usually wake up like that. And then I remembered my morning prayers and everything was fine. I was lifted up again to God in love. And then on the drive here, I got to thinking again about sitting in this chair right here and right now and feeling my heart beating and a little bit faster than usual. And I felt the fear again. So I got to the church, as I have so many Sundays over the past 25 years, and went into the classrooms to prepare for the day. And of course, knowing that no one's going to be here today in the classrooms. But I remembered what it was like to come in on a Sunday to prepare for the young people in each classroom. As I walked in and the room was empty. And then I began to put the chairs or the cushions out, prepare the altar, light the incense and walk around chanting, "This is holy ground." Then I realized that even before I left the room, it was empty in a different way. I knew that when I walked out of the room, it wouldn't be empty the way it was when I first came in. And I also would not be empty. Something sacred had happened. Something had become remembered. It was the Holy Spirit. And the sacred space was prepared for people to come in, and I was sacred space, walking out the door and into the day. And I felt lifted up, and I brought that into the sanctuary. And it seems empty, but it's holy. And I know that you're out there, even though I don't see you. And I'm sitting here worried I might say something wrong, which I have done in the past. But I feel your love. And I feel the love I have for you. And so I remember God and Christ. And I also was in the room. The first thing I noticed in the preteen room on the altar, that's where I remember, like Deborah mentioned, that we'd be making these crosses. This is one that survived getting burned for Ash Wednesday. But perhaps we'll save it for next Ash Wednesday. But you can remember with me what it's like to be here, walking on this sacred ground, whenever we get afraid or down. And another thing I noticed, I've forgotten, there's a game in the preteen classroom. And the name of the game is Love is Letting Go of Fear. And I picked a card out. I haven't looked at the card, but I thought I'd bring it up. And the game is a board game. And this card says, when we learn not to judge others, totally accept them, and not want to change them, we can simultaneously learn to accept ourselves. I don't know about you, but that lifts me up. And one of the things that I remember throughout the day is the first two lines of the Psalm 140. Deliver me, O giver of breath and life, from the fears that beset me. What is the giver of life and breath? As long as I remember what God is, I am delivered of my fears, just like I am right now. I miss you, and I feel you all here. Amen.
Please join with me in listening for God's word. Our second reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. When Jesus and the disciples drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find an ass tethered and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them here to me. And if anyone should say anything to you, reply, 'The master has need of them.' Then he sent them at once. This happened so that what had been spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled. 'Say to daughter Zion, behold, your king comes to you, meek and riding on an ass, and on a colt, the foal of the breast of the beast of burden.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the ass and the colt and laid their cloaks over them, and he sat down upon it. The very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and strewed them on the road. The crowds preceding him and those following kept crying out and saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!' And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was shaken, and ask, 'Who is this?' And the crowds replied, 'This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee.'" May this reading nourish us on our journey deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I was surprised by the phone call from for Zan. That was a wonderful surprise. I didn't know that was coming today. And I think, Zan, if you're available for Easter Sunday, why don't you come and give the message? I would love to listen to you, dear one. And that was very special to hear those affirmations from your heart and that you have embodied them. And affirmations are a really good way of entering into my sharing today, because in many ways, affirmations, like Don's prayer this morning when he woke up, help us remember ourselves, help us remember God, help us self-remember, capital S, self, connect to the deeper, higher part of ourself, the more real part of ourself, the less fearful part of ourself, and in part because we are fickle. We are fickle in that we don't always have a center that holds, or certainly a center that is consistently grounded in God, but we're all working on it, and we're all on the journey into that. And the wonderful thing is, the good news of the gospel is that even when we can't come to the center comes to us. And that's grace. And even when we are forgetting, truth and love and wisdom come to us and help us remember. And affirmations are a way of us remembering and waking up and coming to center. So the passage of scripture that we read from Matthew that Mary Ann just read is a famous passage that's often read on Palm Sundays. And I want to talk a little bit about that today. But first, I just want to draw your attention to the wisdom of the Bhagavad Gita, which is an ethical call for all of us to ground ourselves in a quality of being that is ancient and that comes to us in different ways, not only through the Bhagavad Gita, but through the Christian scriptures as well. You can find similar kinds of exhortations. But just take this in again for a moment, that we are called to be fearless. We are called to never waver in our determination and our dedication to the spiritual life. And now more than ever, you know, there's an interest in what the crowd is doing, what the COVID is doing, what the culture is doing. There's an interest, and that can be extraordinarily distracting to our determination and dedication to live the spiritual life. I take it as an extraordinary opportunity to live the spiritual life in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the COVID, and I know you do too. Be self-controlled, sincere, truthful, loving, and full of the desire to serve. And that invitation to serve is really profound, I think, more than ever. I think about all the moms and dads who are at home with the kids full time now, remotely schooling or homeschooling, all the partners and husbands and wives who may be at home full time now and not going away to the office, and so all of a sudden 24/7 you're living together, and all of a sudden perhaps you're concerned about grandparents or family members who are living apart from you or close to you, and our neighbors and the most vulnerable among us, and all the people that are losing their jobs, their source of income, furloughed, laid off. The massive scale of our opportunity to serve one another is right in front of us, and the invitation for all of us is to look at those near us and those around us and ask the question, how can we live into this universal call to the spiritual life to serve others? And that is an opportunity for us. That doesn't mean that we have to burn ourselves out. We have to take a balanced approach to serving others and stay centered as we serve. But that's the invitation to serve others. And it will obviously call forth new things in us and new opportunities for us to grow and to die to self. And this is truly one of the hidden opportunities in this moment of history that we're all living through. Realize the truth of the scriptures. And I know that we're people of the silence. We're also people of the word as contemplatives. And we're people who let the word enter into us. We let the word, we consent to the presence and action of the word of God. And that word of God, when it comes into contact with the silence that we've been sitting in and that has been marinating our lives and our faculties and our different centers, the silence really does something to our interpretive faculty. So we're able to be more soft soil that receives that living word in us. So the scriptures just don't become a document embedded in the archaeological past. They really become a conduit of spiritual living energy. And that's the wish, that our scripture reading would become a conduit of living spiritual energy, as in a similar way that affirmations become a conduit of reconnecting us up that scale of energy and consciousness, that scriptures can do that. And scriptures can do that in part because they've been doing that for so long for humankind. They're the collective conscious of humankind has been saturated in these scriptures of all the different religious traditions, so they carry a heavier magnetism that each of us contribute to. And over the centuries, human beings who have given their attention to the scriptures have magnetized the scriptures in such a way that it benefits us. It comes to accrue in us to our benefit right now. And so you can play your part in sending forward to the future your attention and consent to the living scriptures and make your deposit of appreciation and valuation to the scriptures. And that will accumulate in the field of consciousness that is it, the scriptures, for the future, for the sons and daughters to come after us on this planet. Do not get angry or harm any living creature. And I think this is a really important thing to take into our hearts as we're living with one another more closely, more densely. I read somewhere that divorce applications have spiked in China after their quarantine. Well, I wonder if you've seen violence show up in your home. I wonder if you've seen violence in yourself show up in a way that you hadn't seen in a while. I remember my little dog, Emma, who's the most precious little thing, and this dog's name is Wilson. Wilson's adorable, but Emma is even smaller and more adorable, and she couldn't hurt anything. She couldn't even hurt a mosquito. All she does is love. She's pure love. But I remember when we moved into a new house that Emma didn't know what to do, and that Emma, who was always quiet at night and slept through the night so peacefully in her kennel, all of a sudden was not sleeping through the night, and she was whining and howling through the night. And on our first night there, I remember going into her little room that we had created for her. It was a new room for her. And at 2 or 3 in the morning, I realized that I was so angry at this little dog that I saw in myself a desire to grab Emma and shake Emma. And I didn't. But I was horrified that I wanted or felt that impulse to do that, to shut her up. And of course, that would have made it worse. But she could tell in my voice that I was angry and frustrated. And the thing is that she was just scared. She was just totally thrown out of her ordinary life and was in a new home, in a new place. And so it is easy for us to allow these emotions of anger, those lower emotions on that map that Deborah had taken from David Hawkins, it's easy for those emotions to show up when we're discombobulated and our routines are turned upside down and we're living in a new way and our level of anxiety is high. So be kind to one another and do not get angry and express it in a harmful way. I think anger is normal, but expressing that anger in a harmful way is what we really want to shine the light on. But be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. Cultivate vigor, patience, will, purity. Avoid malice and pride. Then, beloved, you will achieve your divine destiny. These are extraordinary reminders for us to put on these clothes of goodness and virtues. And if you're wondering what to aim at, well, take a look at Bhagavad Gita, chapter 16. Be fearless and pure. Never waver in your determination or your dedication to the spiritual life. Give freely. Be self-controlled, sincere, truthful, loving, and full of the desire to serve. Realize the truth of the scriptures. Learn to be detached and to take joy in renunciation, the pandemic renunciation. Do not get angry or harm any living creature, but be compassionate and gentle. Show goodwill to all. Cultivate vigor, patience, will, purity. Avoid malice and pride. Then, beloveds, you will achieve your divine destiny. It's good wisdom. Now let's talk a little bit about Palm Sunday and what this ancient story might mean for you and for me. How you doing out there? Let's take a moment. All good? I've been saying a lot. All good? Love you. It's most peculiar to speak to an empty sanctuary, but just want to say our divine destiny is love. That's what it is. If anyone was wondering what divine destiny was, it's love. And sometimes we have to go through death to get to that love, and that is the message of the Christian journey. Now, we're not talking necessarily about physical dying, but we're talking about letting go of more of ourself, dying to self, and Jesus plays this out. Now, let's just imagine about how we can reinterpret this ancient story of Palm Sunday. Obviously, there is the historical level. And the historical level is what grounded or landed this principle on planet Earth. So we don't dismiss the historical level. But the historical level is always changing. For example, 37 years after this story occurred, after this event of Jesus entering into the city of Jerusalem and being cheered by the crowds, Hosanna, Hosanna, the King has come to liberate us. 37 years later, another leader came into Jerusalem almost to the day, April 14th, in the year 70 Common Era. It was the week of Holy Week of that year. And almost to the day of Palm Sunday, the general Titus of the Roman army entered into Jerusalem and sieged it viciously. And killed, Josephus said, 1.3 million people over an 8-month siege, destroying the temple forever. It's no longer there. And 37 years later, history changed. And you can just go through and see history is always changing, but Palm Sunday was landed in history to teach us something. And Jesus represents, on the spiritual level now, moving from the historical to the spiritual, or you might say even the contemplative level, the inner esoteric level, Jesus represents the center, capital C, center. And by center, I mean the presence of the union of the divine and human. And by center, I mean the presence of divine love. I mean silence. I mean a higher intellectual and emotional presence. I mean love. And we could go on. That is all conveyed by the word center. Center represents the higher, the future possibilities of humankind. And Jesus represents that. And he does so in such a humble way, riding on a donkey, which was the exact opposite of what General Titus entered in on a great military horse. Horses were symbols of might, physical might and power, and donkeys were symbols of humility, of the common person, of the farmer, of the person of the earth. Jesus had no intention of leading a revolution, of overturning the power brokers of Israel or Rome. He had every intention of being the center and going where the center goes, which is to its surrender in the face of violence. And this profound entrance of Jesus, of the center coming in to the crowd, teaches us something. Because the crowd, in my view, in the interior understanding of the contemplative dimension, the crowd represents life, represents multiplicity, represents our human fragmentation, represents our fickleness, represents our sleep, represents our mechanicality, represents all that is occurring on the human plane of history, including COVID-19. All the diseases, all the sufferings, all of that is the crowd. And this is the point I want to make. Center comes into the crowd. Doesn't avoid it. Center enters into the crowd. Center enter into the COVID. Center enters into the confusion. Center enters into the mechanicality and changes it. It parts before center. It literally divides and opens up and receives center. This is the power and the presence of center, that it has the capacity to enter into the COVID and transform it. Center has the possibility of coming into our confusion and our homes and our anxieties and transform it. And transform it in such a way that people say, Hosanna! Hosanna! What does this mean? Could it mean that there is a moment of awakening when center comes close? That the crowd doesn't change, that doesn't disappear, it doesn't go away, but they awaken in the midst of their crowdness. And they start declaring, Hosanna, Hosanna. They awaken to the presence of the center. And this is a beautiful reminder that situation may not change, but our awareness in the situation is what changes. COVID-19 might not change, but our awareness in relationship to COVID-19 might change. Hosanna! We awaken to a higher level of understanding, a deeper understanding of the situation. The crowd is so fickle because in one moment they are awakened and a few days later they're asleep again. And instead of crying Hosanna, we know what they're crying. They're crying from a different center. They're crying out from a different part of an emotional center, an emotional center that's been consumed with fear, anxiety. Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Where did the Hosanna go? Well, that's the nature of the crowd. The crowd in here, that multiplicity, that mechanicality, that can wake up for a moment and then go back to sleep. So, for me, the current crowd of this Holy Week is COVID-19. It's all around. I cannot avoid it. It's like a million voices screaming out. And I'm waiting for center to come in and divide it and transform it. And that center starts with me, it starts with you. And as we become connected more and more virtually, the center comes to circumference. And that is the message of Palm Sunday. Center, which didn't have to come to circumference, didn't have to come into the crowds, but chose to, knowing that it would transform center forever and circumference for a short time. And as we journey through Holy Week, starting on Maundy Thursday, we will gather here virtually and we will have our three stations of devotion. We'll have our Mary icon, we'll have our San Damiano cross, and we'll have our candle cross. And you will be able to participate virtually as just a few of us stand before each of the stations of devotion, one at a time. And we will consciously consent to letting center come deeper into us and to empower us and strengthen us as the crowd chants, COVID, COVID, COVID. And we will listen for a different voice. We will listen for the voice that is actually a song. Alleluia, 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 all the earth. And so that's the center that we will hold and send out to the circumference. And on Good Friday, we will gather here as well and virtually remember how center surrendered to everything to gain all. And then on Easter Sunday morning, through the Holy Vigil of Saturday, we will celebrate. That Holy Saturday Vigil is not to be overlooked, and I urge you to participate and go to the link that was in the Friday email and sign up on the Google Sheet, take a certain slot, and pray at home and hold center and let center hold you. Participate in the half-day centering prayer retreat. All these on Saturday morning, all these are ways to allow center to come to you and for you to perpetuate the center to the world. We're not just playing church, friends. We are participating in center coming to circumference. And just another quote here to conclude, and then a special treat for everyone at home, something I think that has never happened at the Church of Conscious Harmony. But I want to conclude with a quote from Ilya Delios, February 20th, Omega Institute newsletter. And this is from her last paragraph. I encourage you to go find the whole article. It's at her website, Omega Center. And this is just the last paragraph of her essay. After 13.8 billion years of cosmic life, 13.8 billion years of cosmic life in this universe that we know of, and 4.2 billion years on planet Earth, life and nature has shown itself resilient in the face of destruction. This resilience bears witness to the hope that lies within each of us. Theology should give voice, and I should say spirituality should give voice to this hope and not stifle it by outdated doctrines and myths. There is a desperate need for a new understanding of God, the God who is known by many names. Perhaps the name love best describes this insatiable desire of the human heart and the heart of human nature itself. And nature itself. Teilhard de Chardin said that science can only bring us so far. But in the end, science will disappoint us. It is love that meets the needs of the human heart and binds together in a unity that grows. In Teilhard's view, there is science, philosophy, and love. And the greatest of these is love. And we know that science ultimately transforms things, but ultimately disappoints because it's not God and never takes away our humanity until we're cyborgs, I guess. But as far as I know, when the ventilators can't do it, when the drugs can't do it, when all the technology and all the king's horses and men can't do it, there's a spouse looking at a partner in the eyes saying, I love you. I love you. Goodbye. And that's the cross. But the cross, it doesn't end. The story, the resurrection continues at end. Love is the means by which we cross the bridge from the cross to the resurrection. And now something that is very special for all of us, and I can't imagine it'll happen very often, but I'd like for you to partake in a video that it's many perhaps have seen already, but I find it to be profound. It's an emotional video. Let it open your heart. It's about Austin. But really, it's not the video about Austin that I really was so deeply touched by. It was the prophetic words at the very end. And so take those words in deeply. It's about a 3.5-minute video. And so we'll go to share screen mode now, and we will watch this video together. That empty space has been created by and for the center for love. Take a moment when you on your walk, on your way to the store, or just watching the news to look into the emptiness and marvel at all that love. Let it fill you and sustain you. It isn't the end of the world. It is the most remarkable act of global solidarity we may ever witness. Amen. You've heard what I've had to say. Take a moment in the silence to let the Spirit speak to you. Amen. And now more than ever, this affirmation of God's love and provision is so personal and so real for so many. And if you have secure income, pray this prayer for those who do not, and the reality of that situation all around. And let us pray for this church and pray for its ministry, and thank you for your generosity and commitment. We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts virtually, and we remember the truth that God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully, and how blessed we are to simply remember God. And we dedicate these tithes, gifts, and offerings and our intentions of love for others to the victory of consciously chosen love over the lies of separation and our useless acting out from fear. Amen. I invite you now to enjoy a musical reflection from Sue and Billy.
By your love, I now rest in your eternal arms. Quietly I go within and hear, be still.
We will now be still and rest in 10 minutes of centering prayer, which is a contemplative way of consenting to God's presence and action and love. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and always. Amen.
I invite you to join in the most conscious way as you can in celebrating this Eucharist together, which we dedicate from this center to all medical caregivers, nurses, homebound caregivers, nursing home caregivers, all who are attending to the sick and dying, EMT, firemen, police officers, all who are supporting our community. Let us pray. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his blood to our blood and his body to our body. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. This is the body of Christ." When supper had ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ. Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our source, for the glory of God's kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy may be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. From my heart to yours, I thank you for your presence and participation in this service today. Let's join in singing Amazing Grace to conclude our time together.
Saved a soul like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a soul.
As we enter into this Holy Week, let us do so with the gentleness of the creatures of the earth, who know they come from source, and we can remember this truth as center comes to us. I invite you to partake as deeply as you can in Maundy-Thursday service, Good Friday service, half-day centering prayer service on Saturday morning, the prayer vigil that begins after the Good Friday service and runs to the sunrise service, and then Easter Sunday, next Sunday at 10 o'clock. Partake deeply. On behalf of all of us here in the sanctuary who have so lovingly been witness to this silence and stillness, we send to you the love of God, the grace of Christ, and the peace and presence of the Holy Spirit.